Get ready.
We're online. You're listening to the hottest internet station
on the Culture Radio Network.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The DJ Chapman Show.
We just getting started. Welcome to the show. We have a special guest in the building, comedian Loose Cannon, with another Loose Cannon moment. I'm your host, TJ Chapman. What kind of tea you sipping on, Sam? AD, what are your thoughts? It's getting late, y'all. It's time for the chocolate letter. This is definitely for the grown and sexy. It's time for another refill, y'all. Don't go anywhere, so keep it locked. The best is yet to come.
Get ready.
We're online. You're listening to the hottest internet station
on the Culture Radio Network.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The DJ Chapman Show.
We just getting started. Welcome to the show. We have a special guest in the building, comedian Loose Cannon, with another Loose Cannon moment. I'm your host, TJ Chapman. What kind of tea you sipping on, Sam? AD, what are your thoughts? It's getting late, y'all. It's time for the chocolate letter. This is definitely for the grown and sexy. It's time for another refill, y'all.
Already know, and I already know. not. Got diamonds in my chain, cups full of champagne, trees in the plane, and they all know my name. I ain't nothing like them lame. Riding through the West Coast, you ain't even smoke, now you blowing on the best though. How many times we gotta try? You feeling your best now when I'm the reason why. No feeling the stress, I got a multi-track mind. So we make a toast and blow the planes up high. Yeah.
To be us, babe. By now.
What's happening, family? It's your main man, TJ Chapman, host of the TJ Chapman Show. We got another great episode for you guys. Listen, man, today is Open Discussion Tuesday, where you as the listeners can get to chime in and ask a question. You want us to talk about a topic, something on your mind? You want to talk about it? Let's do this.
Rapid fire.
And we're going to do the little rapid fire situation on Tuesday. So we're going to bring a new flavor to you guys on the show. Joining me, next to me, main man, Buddha from Sipping a Conversation. What's happening, player?
What's good, Sippers?
My guy.
Oh, man.
Just like that.
Yes, sir.
And in the building, we got a special guest in here.
Yeah.
We got Sonny Calhoun. Ooh. Sound like he a gangster up in there. I'm talking about you got Sonny, then you got Calhoun. Sound like
Sonny Calhoun.
he's a black Italian. And we have the lovely author, beautiful ma'am, Missy. I'm calling Mimi, but, you know, Missy, Mimi, all same thing, the way I call it. Mimi Hussey, what's happening with you?
Hey.
Can't wait till we dive into your book, because I'm excited. You know, especially the 80 days of motivation, and we got a lot going on. So we're going to go ahead and get started, man, because we got some good topics that people have been, you know, writing in. And one of the things that came to mind is, I'm going to go ahead and actually pull it up, because I'm going to dive right into it, because one of the things that actually stood out the most was about racism amongst law enforcement and with the recent events. Now, I normally don't talk about that stuff,
mm-hmm.
but it's a discussion that needs to be had.
Absolutely.
You know, so we're going to get into that probably more so on the second half of the show, because that's a topic in itself. But we do have other questions that people wrote in, and one question that actually stuck out the most was media and direct effect on racism. Does media play a big role when it comes to baiting people into being racist?
Absolutely.
Oh,
I think it does.
Yeah. How so?
I think so, because, like, just say, for example, when it's a black person being shot, mm-hmm. like, the media makes them out to be the criminal, even though they're the ones that suffer the death, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the media has a big part on how we look once something happens in our community.
Sonny.
For me, I think media plays a huge role. Gosh, yo, it's so many different ways you can shine light on this topic. For me, it's like the thing is, people are now seeing it more, because it's always been happening, but now because of social media, because of cameras, because of cell phones, now it's coming to the forefront. Like, our brothers and sisters have always been going through the same struggle. Now it's televised.
Yeah.
And it's like the direct effect, I think, to some certain extent, when you get to like putting things on social media, you get to see the divide between black people, white people, and people of Spanish descent. It's crazy, man. Like, you just got to be careful with what you do and what you say and how you see things, you know?
Buddha, what you got?
Well, I mean, I look at it two different ways. Does social media shine a light on racism? Absolutely. It's this is an instant society, right? So you get to see everything right now. So with that being said, absolutely. But is it the founding factor? No, we contribute a lot. Being who you are and broadcasting it over the world, you got to own that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
You got to own that. So that would be my other take to that, you know?
Well, my thing on that whole situation is that media got a job, mm-hmm. okay? I'm in the media.
Absolutely.
You know, what's going to actually sell? What's going to actually get the ratings up? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you play the bait game like, okay, hey, morally you may feel like, nah, we shouldn't talk about that because it's just going to entice or stir up the pot.
Mm-hmm.
True.
But unfortunately, that's what the media is. They got to stir up the pot a little bit mm-hmm. to get that rating, to get that headline going up. You know, how many times y'all came across your Facebook page or something and you read the title and you're like, holy shit, what the hell? And then you open up the article and you start reading it and it's like, hold on, wait a minute, they ain't say all of that now. They should have put that in the title. Right. Yeah. And now you're like, okay, all right, now you got a different opinion about what it is. But it's about the narrative. And if they can flip the narrative to make you think one thing, then that's how it actually starts. So I truly believe that, you know, media plays a very important part in it all, unfortunately. So it's just been crazy. And now, and I'm going to just switch it up because the other mm-hmm. post that came out, this post is actually for me and you.
Really?
And I want to make sure I read it correctly.
They're coming for me, huh?
All right, so it says, it's from anonymous listener because they didn't want to put the name because everybody can see it.
I feel you.
All right, so it says, question for TJ and Buddha.
All right.
Why is it more acceptable for women to be gay than it is for guys to be gay?
Well, you want to take that first or you want
to?
I slide in there. I mean,
go ahead.
Well, sword fighting hurts. I'm teasing, but I understand this is a masculine society, man. So anytime you can have a man out there not in a masculine fashion, it's not a good look for what we really trying to achieve out there. I'm not saying it's, you do your own thing, I guess. If you want to be gay, you want to be homosexual, whatever it is, it's your right. Have at it. But society is what the society is. No, if this is a masculine society, any chink in that armor is going to pose a threat, in my opinion.
Wow.
Did I answer that? All right. Did I do all right?
Oh, no. You did real good. So, Mimi, all right. So, you know, you got your book, and it ties into it, because we're going to get there. But before we get there, do you think it's a double standard when it comes to, you know, females being more acceptive to being gay than it is for guys to be, you know, say, hey, I'm gay, and then all of a sudden, you know, everybody done lost a goddamn mind.
Yeah,
but absolutely. A female come out and say, you know, I'm gay, you know what, baby, that is okay. You know, express yourself and all that other stuff and just go on with your bad self.
Yeah, society.
Is there that?
Yeah, society accepts gay women over men, like, it is a double standard. I absolutely agree. I think it's more acceptable to be a female and gay than be a male and gay. And like Carl said, it's more because I think the male, you know, when we think of a male, we think of being masculine and being the head of the household. We don't think about them, you know, wearing heels and purses. You know, I'm from Georgia, so Atlanta, you know, we see it like every day, all day. So I think Carl put it, he said it right on the point. Like it's more because we expect a man to be a man.
But that's that he.
But at the same time,
I mean, he made a valid point though. So if I do hurt.
Right, I ain't okay. Never see two keys open or anything.
Yes, no. Hey, look, you know what I say? Yin and yin don't mix.
That's it. No.
But you know, to elaborate, yes, it's more acceptable because men look for it. Hey, you say that you sleep with women. Men are like, oh yeah, you sleep with women. Yeah, okay, boom, boom, boom. Mm-hmm. But if you say it, if this man say, hey, I sleep with a man, you're like, whoa. Hold up, player. You know, like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. So, yes, it is a double standard, and it's because, like, we, as men, we accept women in that manner more mm-hmm. so than we will accept another man to be, you know, homosexual. Mm-hmm. Like I say, and Carl said it, like, I don't knock anybody for what they do, mm-hmm. but it's just when you talk about accepting, that's just what it is. Because you can walk down the street and see two girls holding hands and guys will do the wolf call.
Mm-hmm. Hey, can I join you?
You know?
Right. Y'all need some meat in your life?
Right.
You know? But if you see, and this was, we can talk about the 90s because now it's more acceptable. Mm-hmm. But in the 90s, because I'm a little older, and I'm pretty sure.
We all are.
We all are.
When you used to see that two guys walking down the street, you did it. And you know, times have changed. It's a little more acceptable, but still.
It's still. Because we're gonna actually dive into that a little bit more, you know, in the season where, you know, as a parent, what do you do when you find out that your child decided to like the same sex? You know, is it the parents' disappointment as to where do they go wrong, or mm-hmm. who's to blame for it? So we gonna dive into that one. So y'all make sure y'all stay tuned because we gonna do it. Now we have a best-selling author in the building.
Word,
yes,
Mimi
yes,
Hussey, yes.
Woohoo!
Author of "This Too Shall Pass: 80 Days of Motivational Quotes."
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure of seeing you once again.
Yep.
We first encountered each other on Sipping the Conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And just through that interview, I was like, you know what? I got to have on the show, you know, just to get it out there because that book is amazing.
Thank you.
And I was like, you know, all platforms, you know, if I can get on my show to get it out there, you already got it on their show. So,
absolutely.
And you're joined here by the Black Italian, Sonny Calhoun.
Yes.
Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Now, your wife is a bestseller, okay, mm-hmm. author. And, you know, when it comes to certain industries that, you know, your significant other is in, mm-hmm. how does it play a role in the marriage as far as, you know, what it takes to your spouse to dedicate her time, her efforts into mastering her craft, mm-hmm. but at the same time being able to maintain the household to give you that lovey-dovey-dovey kiss,
hey.
You know? How do you maintain to keep your composure when you feel like, well, she ain't give me this because she busy doing that?
First of all, it's a team effort. I'm a wife's biggest fan, number one.
Boom.
I'm securing who I am as a man that when it's time for her to do these platforms, like tonight, I told Buddha, I was like, hey, if I can get my mom to take the kids, mm-hmm. I'll join. But if not, then I'll go home mm-hmm. with the kids and let her go do her thing because I know she's out here working. We're doing this as a unit. Like, we on the grind, we foot the pavement, we do everything as a unit. And sometimes, lovey-dovey, touchy-touchy.
kiss, lies.
You know, sometimes that may not happen because of, and at that point in time, I understand.
Right.
Like, hey, I'm your support system. I'm here to do everything that you cannot do when you cannot, you know, when you're out doing what you're supposed to do. So, you know, we do it together, man. We've been doing it big. We've been putting this book. I ain't gonna talk too much about it because that's our thing. But you know, I share social media. Mm-hmm. You know, we come up
absolutely.
With we come up with ideas together. We just grinding this thing out, man. We trying to make it a true bestseller. I mean, she deserves it. She wrote everything. When I first, and I don't want to talk too much about it, mm-hmm. but when I first saw, when we first got together, mm-hmm. she told me she wrote a book. Mm-hmm. You know, people say that.
People say all the time. I wrote a book. All right, go ahead and write your
what
book.
What my man say? F-O-H. But then she started to show, she was showing me piece by piece. And I was like, babe.
You might this, be on to something.
Yo, this is good. She was like, you know, I got to put it together, da, da, da. From that moment on, I was on her ass.
Yeah.
I can say it.
Yeah, you can say oh, whatever you need to say.
I was on her ass.
Oh, he said it like, with emphasis that time.
Yo, yeah.
He said, well, I can say
like,
it
yo,
now.
Let's get this done. Let's get this to the world because, yo, somebody needs this. Mm. I've read, before it was put together, I probably read 1 through 80 front and back. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was like, hey, this is amazing. Yo, this could change your life.
Right. Like,
we have to publish this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we just doing a great thing, man. She did a great thing for, you know, not for only for herself, but for other people as well.
So now that you got your support system and he's all on your ass, why did you want to become an author?
Actually, I didn't intend to be an author. What happened was I was, these quotes are pretty much notes that I wrote to myself because I was going through a hard time and I was depressed and I was just like struggling, like really struggling. So I was just writing these little notes to myself. And then I like included, like I paired it with like a Bible verse.
Okay.
And then probably like maybe in July, like I was having I was about to quit my job. I was having a rough day at work. Like I was really struggling.
So it happens.
So I went home and I started like reading my quotes again. And then I started feeling better, and I was like, you know what? I need to, you know, maybe I can help somebody else out. So I ended up publishing it, but I didn't intend on being an author, which is funny because I have written other books.
Okay. Well, you becoming an author, what actually, you know, inspired you to write your latest book, This Too Shall Pass?
Just people need motivation. Like every time you turn on the media, it's like always somebody getting shot, somebody dying, the White House is just crazy. You know, people just need motivation and inspiration, like in their everyday lives. So
it's that Wild House.
Yeah.
More than the White House is the Wild House.
And I'm a news junkie, but like lately I'm just like, I just keep it on ESPN.
Sports. ain't nothing wrong
with that. Keep it on ESPN.
Nothing wrong with that.
It's just, you know, but I feel like I'm a positive person, and I feel like, you know, everybody just needs a little positivity.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, the second part to This Too Shall Pass, you have behind that 80 days of motivational quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Why 80 days and not 365 days where, you know, we got 365 days, but you only got 80. Do they do like recycling or?
It actually took me, when I was going through what I was going through, it took me 83 days. Like, okay. By 83 days, I was good, which is kind of, it kind of sounds weird, but.
Okay.
Like, after I wrote that 83rd quote, I was like, you know, I was feeling better. I was out of bed because I was in the bed. Like, I was in the bed in the dark. I didn't come out of the room. I was struggling. But then I was like, well, 83 days, it didn't kind of, you know, right. So I was like, well, let me just do 80 days.
Okay. So it's more so of how it sounded versus, okay, yeah, 83 days of quotes and that odd number. So let me just do 80 days. Okay. That makes perfect sense. Now, do you have a favorite quote from your book that you want to share with the listeners?
I would say my favorite.
Before you find your favorite, when people buy this book, can they just like open it up in the middle of the book and just look down at a quote and be like, damn, that's a great ass quote?
Absolutely.
Open the book up.
Let's
do it. Let's do it. All right, boom. Read the first quote. Bam. I don't know what it is, but let's read it.
It's day 17. Take a good look in the mirror. For if any be hearer of the word and not of doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, which is James 1:23.
Mm-hmm.
The quote says, "You can focus on what God is trying to tell you all day. Things will not change until you decide to follow his plan. Look in the mirror and decide that you will make a change in your life for the better. You are only one act or thought away from making it happen. It all starts with your thought process."
Wow.
Boom.
Just like that. And I did that on purpose.
Right.
For the simple fact that this book is amazing. And absolutely. With you just, you know, how people will be able to, you know, go to a bookstore or whatever, and then they just start, you know, just open it up in the middle somewhere. And usually when a book is good, typically they either look at the cover and judge the book by its cover, or they can just open the book randomly and just start reading the passage or something. It's like, wait a minute, hold on. This book, like, kind of interesting. They just start, then, okay, let me read the next one. Right. And like, you know what? I can't read all this because it looked like it's good, and then they go there. So I did it for a reason, to let the listeners know that just by her randomly opening up the book, that it doesn't matter where you open it at, where you start at, there's a quote for somebody out there,
right?
Regardless, you know. So that was definitely on point. And now you mentioned that, you know, you wrote a lot of books. How long you been writing?
Probably about 6 or 7 years, maybe. Like, this is actually isn't my first book. My first book is actually a children's book.
Oh.
So.
ABCs, 1, 2, 3s, like.
It's about a child dealing with the death of her grandparent. I just got to find the illustrator.
Oh, like with the pictures.
Yeah.
They're going to be, how you going to paint the kids and the grandmama? How you going to do that one?
Oh, it's going to be my cousins. You know, it's going to be me and us.
I got some of my, you know, my Caucasian friends out there listening too. And
that's what's up.
They probably like, you know, you going to put some, you know, white folks in there too?
Oh, definitely. Because, I mean, the book is actually based off my daughter. And it's actually her friend name is Jack, and he actually is Caucasian. And then her other friend, his name is Montez, and he is black. So all three of them are in the book. So, awesome. I mean, it is other ethnicities
in
the book.
It's meant for everybody.
Yes.
I've read that. Read it too, and it's meant for everybody.
So is that book going to be tailored just for the kids, or is it going to be like, because like right now, you know, you got the Lion King, got how it's supposed to be cheering, but us grown folk, we be watching that thing. They even turned it, so we used to watch it I used to watch the cartoon Lion King, like, yeah, I like that one, and all the cartoons, and now they're making it to, you know what, Disney thought about a good thing. Wait a minute, you got adults watching this thing too, so let's go ahead and make it look real. So the children's book, you're gonna make it to a point where adults can, like, want to read it, too?
Possibly, because it does show how she does deal with the death. So maybe they could take note from how she dealt with it.
Yeah, because grandma probably the one that was raising her.
Well, at the end of the day, your parents, as a parent, you should take a best, you know, be invested in your whatever your kids is in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. And that's the way I saw it. You know, when I first read it, I was like, okay, this is a book that a parent would read with a son or daughter, and just like explain to them like what she's going through. So that's how I viewed it. So that's for everybody. And when you talk about the Lion King, you know, we done seen it, what, 400-500 times a piece?
400 times. Know the lines, everything. Yeah, know what's going to happen, but I want to see how he gonna die this time in real life.
Timon and Pumbaa.
just like that. So Mimi, you as an author, you know, there's other authors out there as well. And earlier in your interview, you know, you didn't mention any authors inspiring you and, you know, per se. Do you have a favorite author, and is there a favorite book that you enjoy reading other than your own?
My favorite author is Alice Walker. She wrote The Color Purple.
Oh, yeah.
The book is so much better than the movie. I recommend everybody to read the book. Like, if you read the book is so graphic. Like, I don't know.
Which one is better, though?
The book is better than the movie.
Yeah?
Yeah. Man, most definitely.
Wow. The Color Purple.
Y'all ever read a book?
No, I ain't never read that book.
The book is really good.
I'm a picture man. I'm sorry.
Two
chapters. Okay.
Like, give me the movie, dog.
Yeah, give me the movie.
It's like that.
The book is really good.
It's who we are, man. It's how you like it.
Hey, listen, I haven't read the book, but I do know after watching it, it's like, you know.
Man, he was doing some stranger things in the book than he was.
The book was, the book was way crazy.
What I understood, he was doing some stranger things.
Yeah, they slimmed it down for the movie.
Well, you got to understand, in the 80s, when that came out, in the 80s, you couldn't do certain things on film.
Yeah.
Because the book came out in 82.
Think about it.
Wow.
Think about it, you know. Freddy Krueger, Nightmare on Elm Street. He was a pedophile. Now, you really going to think in 80 they going to talk about a pedophile?
That's why they burnt him.
They say that he just...
That's why they burnt that motherfucker.
That's why they burnt him.
So, right, yeah. Think about it.
You know, so did they have that that one line, I had to fight all my life.
Oh,
before I let Hoppo put hands on me.
Mm-hmm.
Did they have that in the book?
I can't remember.
Oh, of course
it is. The book is like, it's like poems. Mm. It's like a poem. It's weird, but
did at least have the singing part where, you know, she started singing in the beginning. They had that in there. I mean, of course they didn't. Yeah. Oh man.
I'm telling you, you gotta check it out. It's really
that
good.
Part. The movie part of that,
mm-hmm.
All right, y'all don't care what you say about the
book,
but the movie part of that
was great.
It was great.
Get him! All right. I got two questions before we go to break. Question number one is, do you have any other projects you're working on other than...
Yes.
Okay.
So I have, like I said, I have the children's book. I have another book coming out,
okay.
But it's a surprise. I think it's going to catch a lot of people off guard. Like, it's like way left field.
Okay.
So that's another thing. And then we have the Rain TV that we just started streaming.
Okay.
That I'm pretty sure he'll talk more about.
Mm-hmm.
What else? We actually coach basketball, too.
Nope.
Yeah, it was
even though we live in Apopka, we coach in Oviedo, and we drive there every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday.
Damn.
Yeah, we're one body, so shout out to y'all if y'all listening. If any of y'all
one
are listening.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got a championship last year.
Yeah.
All right.
I got to do my Dean Smith. I got to hold the trophy up above my head.
All right.
But, yeah, those are some things that I'm working on, but
mm-hmm.
just stay tuned.
All right. And the last question is, how can people purchase your book?
It's exclusively on Amazon.
Amazon.
So just go to Amazon and type in the title, and it will be right there.
Absolutely.
Man, okay. So they go to Amazon, just type it in, and it's there. Now, have you had any type of book signings or any type of events to where you can actually display and put your books out so people can do like a, you know, not necessarily a seminar, but one of those book signing type of things, you know?
Not yet, but we're working on that, though. We're working on that. It's coming real soon because actually somebody contacted me and was like, hey, you should do a 20-day challenge, like where we just come and discuss the first 20 quotes. And I was like, well, that's a good idea. So we're working on that, too. And so I know a lot of people, like I said, I'm from Georgia. A lot of people want me to come back home and do a book signing, so I'm working on that also.
Yeah. Wow, that's very interesting. Now I do know that with, you know, there's a lot of motivational books out there, and not to toot, you know, your own horn, but what makes your book so special than others?
It's a lot of tears in it, for one, but like you said, you can open it up and a quote will pertain to you. And what you're going through, like I said, everybody needs a little motivation. And to get the response that I got from everyone, like I keep getting a lot of DMs saying, quote number 30 really spoke to me. Or either I got one the other day where this girl had told me that she was trying to help a friend out.
Mm-hmm.
And she had got the book for the friend, but she actually needed the book herself. So she actually had to order another one. So that means a lot when people say stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know just the stories I hear, even with the guys.
Right.
You know, it resonates with it's resonating with the fellas. And I know she probably figured, because she don't like to really talk about herself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm here to talk about it for her.
Toot, toot.
TJ says, you know, she don't want to toot her horn, but I'm going to toot it.
I was about to say, about being number one.
Mm-hmm. No, about the girl, the one young lady that you work with that was suicidal.
Yeah.
And I don't want to really say, you know, go too much into it, but her friend brought us like, you need to get this book. And, you know, instantly she started and, you know, it's just like, it brings me to tears. Big Rusty Man brings me to tears to see that, you know, what my wife's doing is helping people. So,
absolutely. It really definitely works. Now before we go to break, we got one more question from our listeners.
Uh-oh. They ain't coming for me this time, is it?
No, they ain't coming for us this time. they want to know, they try to disguise it, but they say, why are white people still so racist? ma'am?
I think it's the upbringing. Mm. Like, if it's in your household day and night, that's how the children feed off only what the parents do, I think.
What you got? I mean, I would say this. So, you know, obviously racism is prevalent, right? But in order to change the narrative, you must change your own mindset. Not saying it ain't going to happen still, but you choose to bring energy to what you choose to bring energy to, right?
Exactly.
That's all I got.
Black Italian. What about you?
I'm like an oxymoron. Black and Italian. How does that mix?
How does a black man get Sonny Calhoun?
Those are
Italian names. We're gonna talk. Yeah, we're gonna.
We'll get into that.
We're gonna talk about how you got the name.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
I mean, it's learned behavior.
Yep.
You're not born racist, but your household, like, right. You know, my wife just said it, but your household, like my grandmother, mm-hmm. you know, she was a part of the whole Jim Crow era. Uh-huh. My mother, she was a baby when they start segregating schools, right? Segregating.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we not that far off from that. What is it? My mom's 60? Mm-hmm. So what, about 60 years?
Yeah.
That's not a long time. No. So you still talking about two generations of people who don't like us for who we are, for our skin color. I mean, like, it's... Sheesh. What can you say?
So let me point this out before we go to break. Mm-hmm. So like, some people a person did a study one time, right? So they put somebody in jail, and they thought they was locked in the door, but the door was actually open. But since they was in jail, they never tried the door to see if it was open. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So to Sonny's point, yeah, it's a learned behavior, but if we don't question, right?
Right.
Yeah. We don't question it. It's going to continue.
Absolutely.
Now before we go to break, I want to play a little clip on this because this really speaks volumes, mm-hmm. and I'm going to just go ahead and play it before we go to break.
We hate because we're taught to hate. We hate because we're ignorant. We are the product of ignorant people who have been taught an ignorant thing, which is that there are four or five different races. There are not four or five different races. There's only one race on the face of the earth, and we're all members of that race, the human race. But we have separated people into races so that some of us can see ourselves as superior to the others. We thought it would work, I guess. It hasn't worked. It has been bad for everyone. It's time to get over this business. There is no gene for racism. There's no gene for bigotry. You're not born a bigot. You have to learn to be a bigot. Anything you learn, you can unlearn. It's time to unlearn our bigotry. It's time to get over this thing, and we best get over it pretty soon. I'm an educator, and it's my business as an educator to lead people out of ignorance, the ignorance of thinking that you're better or worse than someone else because of the amount of a pigment in your skin. Pigmentation in your skin has nothing to do with intelligence or with your worth as a human being. It's time to get over that.
Why do we?
Wow. Mm-hmm. That just speaks volume.
Mm-hmm. And the lady that delivered that message, she was a
Nabisco friend.
Right.
And that was
done in the '80s. Mm-hmm. And
we're still
going through the same conversations now. Nothing changes, but time. Like they just it's
exhausting.
It is, man. We got to fight to prove that we belong. We got to fight to prove that we're smart. We got to fight to prove that we belong in them CEO positions that you're holding for other people. Man, we constantly fight and fight and fight.
All our life.
All our life.
We have to fight.
And you know, it's like, and right now, it's like the 2K version of that really same speech. You know, it's like, man, it's an exhausting conversation, man.
There you have it.
I love my people, but we gotta stand strong, stand together.
Indeed, indeed. So grab your glass of wine, your cognac. We'll be right back. Keep it locked. The best is yet to come. Let's go.
This is for my This is hard to say. I wanna make sure I go about this in the right way. Cause lately I've been busy a lot, and I know you don't feel appreciated and whatnot. I used to tell you that your hair looked fly, kiss you slow and stare in your eyes. Now I talk real foul and slick. Every other sentence is you make me sick. Back in the days I was your number one pick. Now your heart's half broken and that's hard to fix. I had to dig deep inside myself, cause I can't see you bouncing with somebody else. It's a long journey back to the place we was, when I was too embarrassed to admit I was in love. And you was my good girl that wouldn't give it up. I can't let her self-destruct.
Baby, smile today, cause I've been imagining always. I'm gonna love you better. Yeah.
When I think about the things we did, and I think about you having my kids, and I think about us sharing a crib, losing all that, God forbid. You deserve flowers and candy, the simple things, in addition to the SLs, baguettes and rings. Instead I walk around like I'm a king, and having you ain't nothing but a thing. I even stopped telling you the loving was good, too busy fronting in the hood. Baby girl, hold me tight, don't ever let go. I'ma do it real gentle, baby, nice and slow. One more chance, baby, and don't say no, cause I got another side to show. Some say love is painful, it helps you grow. Well, it's time for the pain to go, you know?
Baby, smile today, yeah. Cause I've been imagining always. I'm gonna love you better.
I love you better, baby.
Friends will see it too.
Do you think I meant to hurt you?
No.
Do you think I meant to hurt you? So let's laugh together, cry together. God willing, we gon' die together. Do you think I meant to hurt you?
No.
Do you think I meant to hurt you?
No.
So let's laugh together, cry together. God willing, we gon' die together. It's a brand new me, a brand new you, a brand new day. Sky so blue. Hold my hand while I walk with you.
Can you walk?
Sit on my lap, let me talk to you.
Let's talk.
No more games, calling you foul names. Acting like females is all the same. I'm gonna love you better, my mentality changed. From this day forward, I'll never be the same. I'ma rub your lower back, share my dreams. I love you, let me show you what I mean. Give you the deepest love a girl ever seen. Watch you sleep so peaceful and serene. A toast to the queen, you're back in my life. But this time I'ma do it right. Trust me, from the bottom of my heart, nothing's gonna tear us apart. Come on.
Baby, smile today, cause I've been imagining always. I'm gonna love you better.
think I'm meant to hurt you? No. Do you think I'm meant to hurt you? So let's laugh together, cry together. God willing, we gon' die together. Do you think I'm meant to hurt you?
No.
Do you think I'm meant to hurt you?
No.
So let's laugh together, cry together. God willing, we gon' die together.
Relationships are about love and respect, not about hitting or hurting. If you or someone you know is in danger, get help and let's break the silence. Call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233. The TJ Chapman Show cares.
I wear pink.
1 in 8 women are diagnosed with breast cancer.
In 2017, there were 2,470 cases of breast cancer in men in the United States.
Most women who are diagnosed with breast cancer do not have a family history of the disease.
Every 13 minutes, someone dies from breast cancer.
2 out of 3 women with invasive cancer was diagnosed after the age of 50.
Every 2 minutes, someone is diagnosed with breast cancer.
Breast cancer is the second leading cause of cancer death in women after skin cancer.
There are 3.3 million breast cancer survivors in the United States.
I wear pink because of my sister, Regina Wright.
I wear pink in honor of my great aunt, Joyce Hunter, Chicago, Illinois, who lost her battle to cancer.
I wear pink in honor of my sister, Carolyn Wilson Tillman, who died at the age of 47.
I wear pink for my mama, Carol Stewart.
I wear pink for my aunt, Dorothy Getty, who's a 28-year survivor.
I wear pink for my oldest sister, Sheena Combs, who is a breast cancer survivor.
Welcome back, guys. Yes, we are in the final minutes of the show. And this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month as well as Domestic Violence Month as well. Now, it happens all the time. We shouldn't just focus on one particular month, but we should be focusing on 365 a day because breast cancer happens all the time. Yep. Domestic violence happening right now, unfortunately. You know, so ladies, even men, you know, there's a small percentage of men who get diagnosed with breast cancer. But women, definitely go ahead and get your get checked out. You know, do the titty check. That's what they say. Do the titty check. Mm-hmm. Check up under it. Feel lumps, bumps, whatever. You know, go get checked out because early detection can save lives. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. You know, and domestic violence. Don't be silent. Speak up. Let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. Because the next person's life could be yours. So we got to stop it. We can't be silent about it. We got to speak up about it. So while we was on break, we was actually, you know, going over some more of the questions that the listeners wrote in, because today is Open Discussion Tuesday on the TJ Chapman Show. We're going to try to bring a different flavor, you know, of this type of segment, you know, at least once a month, so that you as the audience can go ahead and engage, you know, with the show. So I think we got time for one question. We probably got time for more question. So this is out of Broward County. And for those of you who don't know Broward County, that's the county down in South Florida that bodies, you know, Deerfield Beach, Fort Lauderdale,
right
Pompano
day.
Beach.
Right before
Dade. Right before Dade. That's how you say it. Put it that way. Right before Dade. Them main cities right there. Mm-hmm. So so one of the listeners wrote in and says, can you please talk about out-of-control youth in Broward County? They are dropping out of school as early as fifth grade, running away from home, staying out all night, even days and weeks. The parents are so hopeless, they call the police and nothing can be done. Many of the cops are ignorant to the dependency laws that are put into place and have no immediate resources available to the public. How can we change this? I'm gonna start with Mimi. I'm gonna start with you first.
Ooh, I think it's all with the parenting. I think, like, what's causing the kids to not want to be at home? You know what I mean? Like, is the situation so bad that you just don't want to be at home, or is it the type of friends that the kids are hanging around that's influencing them to not want to be home? So I think. I'm going to put that one. I want to say kids have to watch, parents have to watch their kids and what who they hang around and what they do after school, be more involved with their children. Like, for example, well, maybe I shouldn't give this example because, you know, they might be watching. But I know someone who their son just recently threw something at his teacher and, like, hit this girl in the face. And I think children, sometimes children do stuff for attention. And, like, if you're not giving them attention at home, they try to get attention from somebody. Even if it's the wrong attention, they try to get attention from somebody. And, I just think you just have to be connected to your kids. Don't ignore your kids. Don't let them have to beg for attention, because they'll get attention. It just might not be the attention that you want them to get, but they'll get attention. Okay. I just think that parents should focus on their kids a lot.
Sonny?
I mean, okay.
You know, y'all got kids, so I mean, y'all piggyback on.
We got good kids.
We got great kids, thank you.
But let me say this.
She upgraded. First of all, she said, great.
The problem is babies having babies. You got 20-year-old parents, 10-year-old kids, and 40-year-old grandmas.
Ooh, grandmas don't look like they used to back in
they
the day.
Don't.
Like Aunt Pearl from 227.
Right.
Not right.
With the windbreakers.
So the parents wasn't raised properly. So the kids now, if we listen to the same music, it's a problem. If we both turning up to who's
Drake
right now? Not Drake. That ain't Drake, ratchet.
No.
That ain't ratchet enough.
Oh,
Cardi B.
Like Cardi B.
Lil Boosie.
Lil Choppy. We'll say Lil Choppy. Whoever some of these young people.
I don't know who that is.
Me. You put Lil on. That's still.
Just Lil.
Lil somebody.
Lil Peel Man.
Lil Peel Man.
So if we're both listening to the same thing, that means we're both trying to do the same things. Out in the street. So if I'm trying, if a 20-year-old is trying to tell a 10-year-old that, hey, you need to come do this, they not gonna listen.
Right.
So my thing is, and I know on that question it was like a remedy. I think some of the OGs, and when I say OGs, like us who can try to make a difference, we need to go into these low income neighborhoods and put in programs so that we can at least try to mentor these young men and young women. And give them something to look forward to,
right.
Cause yo, if you all you see is pop pills, pop lean, drink lean, and shoot up opioids, that's all you gonna want to do.
Opioids.
Yeah, cause yo, when we grew up music, we grew up as drug dealers. This generation of music, they drug users.
Yeah. Drug users.
So at 12 and 13, they smoking weed, they popping E. If E is a thing now,
they got one of them letters out.
Just
there
all
now.
These things that they doing, and they seeing it on TV. They listening in the music, and they just want to pop choppers. They just want to do all these things. So OGs need to come into these neighborhoods, and down in South Florida, they big in with sports.
Right.
Every. Two out of every five people probably been to college or been to the NFL. Mm-hmm. They need to go into these neighborhoods and, just
start some programs.
Yeah, start programs. Dude, and, that's just my thoughts.
Absolutely. And just real quick, I know Buddha, wanted, chime in real quick.
Yeah.
How can we change this? Like, how can they change it that the culture down in South Florida, Broward County, specifically, with these kids at as early as fifth grade, you still in elementary, son.
Right.
You want to skip school, not go to school, and go ahead. Cause
how you change the narrative, man? Love, man. Showing people love and understanding. No doubt. And understanding that everybody's out there trying to abuse your child. You know what I'm saying? This thing originated from Roe versus Wade, when the first child divorced their family, right? And once that happened, that created a whole different thing. Well, I think it's Roe versus Wade. What was it?
It wasn't Roe versus Wade. No, abortion.
But it was a case in mid-'80s where a kid divorced his child.
He got emancipated.
And after that point, everything changed. Kids say they have a voice now. And when their voice, their mind ain't fully developed yet. So you give a not fully developed mind, a voice and an opportunity to say what they need to say, then this is what you get, chaos.
Wow. My take is this, and I'm going to be real brief on this, because what needs to be done, because I'm from South Florida.
Right.
I grew up in that environment. The only difference is we had parents. We had the OGs.
Village,
it takes a village to raise these children.
Absolutely.
And I ain't say children.
Churin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And nowadays, there is no more village. It's just individuals and
stress cards.
The streets.
It's stress cards.
You know, the streets from school, bad influences, because sometimes, you know, these parents, you know, yeah, they're single. These single parents now these days ain't nothing like back in the day single parents.
Ain't no big mamas. Not at all.
You know, ain't no big mamas to do this, no big mamas to do that. Now it's kind of like, you know, big mama's 32 years old. Hell no, I ain't finna watch your son. I gotta go, I got a hot date tonight. I'm finna go to the club, shake my ass or whatever. That's what the big mamas are today.
Yep.
32, 33.
They all in the club together.
All in the club together. Right.
Trying to be each other's friends.
This your sister? No, that's my daughter. That's your what?
Trying to be each other's friends. You can't,
you know,
be your
friends. They still out there doing that. Now, what needs to be done is take it back to where it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Takes a village to raise these children. Good friend of mine's co-host on my show that does our chocolate letters, Anthony A.D. Davis, he goes around the country speaking to the youth, you know, and gives them positive feedback. They need a lot of the A.D.s out there in the world to be able to get to these kids, because sometimes the parents, these single parents, may have to work two or three jobs and can't dedicate that necessary time to take off work, because if I take off work, the lights gonna get cut out, or if I take off work, rent might not get paid, or may get a late fee and be, you know, handed that eviction notice.
Yeah.
You know, so I can understand why, you know, parents nowadays get into that aspect. So to answer your question, what needs to be done is community involvement, self awareness. Parents, you can go classes too. Take some time.
Absolutely.
Send your kids. Sign your kids up to these at-risk programs, you know.
Invest in them.
Just invest in them, because I promise you, it'll change their life, because it's going to touch somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Right. One out of five kids that's go there, two of them going to get touched.
Right.
So, man, we could talk about this thing all day long, but you know it's almost time to go.
Yep.
So make sure you guys tune in next week, man. We got a all-new episode next week. We're joined by attorney and entrepreneur, Miss Ashley Wright, right here in Orlando, Florida. She's going to stop by, and man, I'm excited. So I definitely want to be able to thank our special guest, the Black Italian, Sonny Calhoun, and the lovely Mimi Hussey, author.
Right.
I love it. So real quick, tell them how they can follow you, Black Italian. Go ahead.
RainTV.org.
Oh,
that's it.
Arthur page on Facebook, Mimi Hussey author page on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter.
And you already know how to follow us, because you're listening, you're watching.
Yep.
So until next week, I'm your main man, TJ Chapman. Keep it locked. The best is yet to come. Let's go.
So keep it locked. The best is yet to come.